three interior secretaries, James Watt, Donald Hodel, later also energy secretary, and Gail Norton, at some point held positions in the Mountain States Legal Foundation or the Council on National Policy, as had Ann Gorsuch, a Reagan-era EPA administrator. All four have been associated with permissiveness toward regulated industries. Watt and Hodel, in turn, have been closely associated with the religious right. Hodel, after leaving government, held top positions in three related organizations: the Christian Coalition, the Council for National Policy, and the Colorado-based Focus on the Family. During the 1980s and much of the 1990s, little attention was paid, save for the Watt episode, to whether the pro-corporate or anti-environmentalist views of the four were ideological or theological. But that changed in the late 90s as religious right leaders and their allies were aroused by the criticisms put forward by liberal environmental groups and church organizations led by the National Council of Churches. These included charges that conservative fundamentalists and evangelicals cared little about the environment, preferring to rely on the biblical instruction in Genesis 1:28 to subdue the earth and have dominion over it. Such was the argument, for example, of Norman Geisler, president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary. Genesis, he says, gives us the divine mandate to use the resources that are there. Others thought that the old argument needed a little more polish. In 2000, a number of religious conservatives, including stalwarts Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention, James Dobson of Focus on the Family, and D. James Kennedy of Florida's Coral Ridge Ministries, launched a new organization called the Interfaith Council for Environmental Stewardship. Human beings, its declaration read, were given stewardship by God to be fruitful, to bring forth good things from the earth. Moreover, sound theology was needed to help guide the environmental decision-making process. Other council tenets and pronouncements emphasized private property rights and economic development. The moderate to liberal National Council of Churches, in turn, linked its 2004 pro-environmental drive to the organization of the National Religious Partnership for the Environment, urging a brand of stewardship that paid more attention to global warming and less to left-behind literature. But even prominent centrist theologians took umbrage at conservative attitudes toward the environment. Martin Marty of the Institute for the Advanced Study of Religion at the University of Chicago did so defending a Lutheran colleague, Barbara Rossing, who had written a book calling the rapture a racket. Theologian Rossing, Marty wrote, was going back to a first love. Biblical understanding of the environment and ecology. She had better hurry. If the rapture people get their explosive Jesus the Terminator way, there may not be much environment left to be cared for. The evidence that natural resource issues are taking on theological as well as political overtones is mounting. As we will see, theology is creeping into ever more nooks and crannies of the national debate. Although the exact portion of the GOP electorate taking an end-times view is unknowable, polls suggest that close to a majority of those who voted for Bush believe the Bible to be literally true. The most intense, high-intensity believers split into two principal camps. The first, so-called dispensationalists, who interpret current events such as tsunamis, oil spikes, and wars as confirming that end times are at hand, usually don't worry about energy policy. Indeed, they cite a biblical verse mentioning costly wheat, barley, and oil as predictions of shortages of food and fuel. In dispensationalist Tim LaHaye's best-selling Left Behind series, some of his heroes obtain SUVs to go off-road during the earthquakes of the tribulation. Reconstructionists, by contrast, believe that the world must be made over theocratically, along biblical lines, before Christ will return. Neither faction has fossil fuels, climate deterioration, or the energy efficiency of the U.S. manufacturing sector on its agenda. Both camps deplore the efforts of geologists and climatologists to sway voters and policymakers through Hubbert peak analyses and scientific interpretations of global warming data. Their biblically viewed world is at most 10,000 years old, not the millions of years established by scientists, for insistence on this longer time frame is said to usurp God's prerogative. in considering stem cell research or Iraq as Babylon, depleting oil or melting polar ice caps, the thought processes of such true believers have only limited openness to any national secular dialogue. The Republican Party entertains no such public debate. Economic conservatives in the oil and gas, coal, and automobile industries may not believe in end times, but their opposition to regulatory environmental prescriptions and tougher fuel efficiency standards makes them ally with the economically undemanding religious right. This facet of current U.S. energy politics may yet turn out to be one of the most pernicious. No leading world economic power has ever maintained itself on the cutting edge of innovation and development with a political coalition that panders to biblical inerrancy. But we are getting ahead of our narrative. George W. Bush has been in the White House only for weeks, and he is looking for a chance to attack Iraq. It is time to turn to the new fusion of oil, foreign policy, and overseas military intervention that has come together in what can be called petro-imperialism.